What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast. It's hump day, hump day. Oh yeah, it's hump day. It is Wednesday, so make sure to hump someone you love. I have Theo here in studio. Jackie has Bruno back at home. So make sure you're evaluating your life and acknowledging the space that you're in and making sure that you have someone that you love that you want to hump every Wednesday.
100%.
I have like a huge life update for everyone.
Wow, okay.
I am feeling so positive. Like, I'm a new woman from yesterday.
Like, what happened?
Nothing in particular. Yesterday was just like a bad day for me. Like, I didn't sleep great and I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I hated my outfit. I felt like so fat and I really wasn't feeling good. My throat was hurting me. 24 hours later, I like my outfit. I slept great last night, even though I did have a nightmare. I'm feeling a lot better. I had a coffee this morning like that I liked, like from my house, like a Starbucks cold brew with ice and half and half. Like,
love that.
Yeah. So I'm just feeling, I've been up for like, you know, a good amount of time. The mask mandate restrictions have been lifted here in New York. Like, there's literally no reason not to smile, though your heart is aching. Sorry, I'm a little hoarse.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm so happy that you've done this 180. We love to see a positive Claudia. Looking forward to all of her positive takes.
She's so rare, you know? Positive Claudia doesn't just show up most days.
No, so we need to acknowledge the space that we are in now, surrounded by a positive Claudia, which leaves space for me to be negative.
Yeah, and that's like kind of never really like your thing.
What, negativity?
No, you're actually like a glass half full kind of gal.
Oh my, thanks. I mean, I try. And also, like, I've read enough of our podcast reviews to know that, like, people really get pressed when we complain a lot. So I feel like we can only have one complainer.
Honestly, I think people who, I'm about to say something crazy, like, we might need to take out of the podcast.
Just think about it. We're not taking it out, so think about it.
I think that people who complain that we complain too much are anti-Semitic, because that is like a Jewish trait. It is in our blood. And if you don't like it, like, you need to check your anti-Semitism at the door. That's obviously a joke. Like, please don't come for me. I just thought it was funny.
No, like, as Jews, we do complain.
Yeah. And honestly, like, that's actually a great joke for like a comedy club. I should write that down.
Yeah.
It's not really like a podcast friendly joke.
Yeah. But these days we do have a lot to complain about, and it has nothing to do with being just Jewish and complaining.
But not today. There's a lot of joyousness in the air. It's 75 degrees. It's sunny. We have an amazing show. Not only is it Wednesday, which is like always a great day because it's hump day energy, we have Dear Toasters, our advice segment, but we also have an interview at the end of today's episode. If you're listening as a podcast, you can just keep listening. If you're watching on YouTube, there's a separate video. We have Remy Bader from TikTok. She is the Realistic Try-On Haul queen of TikTok. She was so funny. She was so real. And I think you guys are really going to like the interview. So that's at the end of today's episode as a podcast and just our next video on YouTube. She was great. And so many people requested her. So I think it's just a good day.
It is a good day. We do have a great show for you today. So we're going to get into it. We're going to take advantage of the space that you're in and deliver the news that you need to know, as we always do.
We're just deliverers.
Oh, for everybody who's wondering how my two-a-day went yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It went really well. Like, it was really seamless. I feel like by the second workout, I kind of had forgotten about the first one. I didn't really feel fatigued. Matt from the Live Method said it was my best workout ever. And he's been saying that, like, every workout now. So I just feel like that means I keep getting better.
You don't know why?
Why?
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people just don't kill their husbands. They just don't.
Yeah.
That's why maybe I am going to kill my husband, because I have no endorphins.
Because you don't exercise.
Because I do two-a-day naps. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe that's why. So everything was good. People were wondering what I do with my hair when I, like, exercise before the toast. I just don't wash it when I shower. I showered twice yesterday and took one bath because of the two-a-day.
Wow.
It's a shower after each workout, and then I bathe before bed.
I don't know why I, like, can't picture you in a bath.
picture it. It's something to see. It's something to see.
I just like can't envision you getting into a tub.
Well, you know what? Usually it happens very slowly because I make the water too hot. Mm. So I'm standing there waiting for it to cool down.
That's the fucking worst. Like your feet are burning when you put them in.
And I just like, I feel so stupid, like hunched over waiting to get in. So I just sort of like burn my whole body.
Yeah, no, that's the worst. And get the fuck in. Well, that's because you're inexperienced.
No, I mean, sometimes it's the right temperature, but sometimes it's lukewarm. And I'm like, I'd rather just push myself.
Does your bath nozzle have temperatures on it?
No, otherwise it wouldn't be such a gamble.
Mine does. And it's like actually like a huge thing, like the privilege of having temperature on your shower or bath nozzle is so like it's just one of those underrated things that like now that I have it, I don't know how if I ever move, like how I'm gonna live without it.
No, it takes out all the guesswork and some of us are just going in blind.
Yeah, no, you're literally going in blind when it's like I know exactly like to a T Fahrenheit what I'm getting into.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I feel like we should just dive in because there's like so much to discuss.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else that I need to share because it just was like a standard day. Nothing crazy. I went to dinner last night, watched Rohoni.
Oh, I went to a comedy show last night.
How was?
It was crazy like to see. It wasn't in a club. New York Comedy Club is doing like outdoor shows on this like rooftop in Flatiron. It was so nice. And our friend Kristen, who we went to Nashville with, her now husband, they got married in COVID, did a set. And it was so good. And it was just like, what a different experience, like, to not only see comedy outside, but, like, I feel like in the past 6 months since things have started to reopen, I've just been doing, like, the same thing over and over again, like, dinner, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was, like, a new activity, and it was really fun.
A new sensation.
So support your local comedians.
I tried to go, but I showed up at the wrong place, yes. And then I missed it.
That's so you.
That's so me.
That's so Jackie.
Like, literally arrived only to realize I arrived at the wrong place.
Right, because you went to the comedy club and they're not doing it at the comedy club.
They were
club.
Doing it on this rooftop. Yeah. No one thought to tell me.
It was really fun.
Yeah, I guess that's that on that. And without further ado, where are you? By the way, he is here. He's
off camera. He's feeling shy today.
Yeah, he's just been feeling a little insecure. And, yeah. You know, taking time for himself. But without further
ado. After two breakfast tigs, he's just been, like, really carrying that weight around.
But that spirit of the two breakfast tigs lives on.
Cannot be squandered.
Cannot be broken. Without further ado, here are the fast five stories that you do need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today we're excited to be sponsored by IPVanish. What is IPVanish? A virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse on the internet. You can use a VPN on your computer, tablet, phone, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all your data becomes encrypted, what you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is that you're doing. And that's important because what you're doing on the internet is absolutely nobody else's business but yours. IPVanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. And for listeners of the show, IPVanish is offering an incredible 65% off, just $3.49 for the first month or $31.49 for the year. Here's everything you get with IPVanish. Anonymous IP addresses, meaning your personal IP address cannot be tracked. You can circumvent any online censorship. They have more than 1,500 servers on 70-plus locations, and you can get protection from using public Wi-Fi. So go to IPVanish.com/toast to claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at just $3.49 or $31.49 for the entire year. This is the time to sign up because with our discount code and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IPVanish is the best of the best, rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So IPVanish.com/toast to get that deal and start protecting yourself online.
Love it. Okay, first story, something that's been like making the rounds. Shanna Moakler.
Yes, Moakler. No, Moakler, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those names I'll probably never get right, is claiming that she caught Travis Barker and Kim Kardashian having an affair. Shanna Moakler claims she once caught Travis Barker.
It's Shanna Moakler.
Having an affair with Kim Kardashian, the younger sister of his current girlfriend, Kourtney Kardashian. Moakler said she divorced Barker back in 2019.
Moakler! Moakler!
She said that she divorced him because of his tryst with Kim. She said, I divorced my ex because I saw them. I caught them having an affair. The model confirmed that she was referring to Kim, who met Barker when she was working as Paris Hilton's assistant in the early 2000s. A source close to Kim told Page Six on Wednesday morning that there is zero truth to these claims. So Shanna is saying that Kim and Travis hooked up and she caught it and that's why they got a divorce. And Kim's camp is saying like this did not happen.
Well, there's a
what
few things.
What do we believe?
There's a few things to unpack here. One, the fact that Travis Barker and Kim like might have broken up his marriage. And two, the fact that Kourtney is now dating Travis.
No, to me, the only thing that matters is that Kourtney is now dating Travis. Because like what Kim did in the early 2000s with whomever.
I just don't believe it.
Is irrelevant to me.
You want to know why? Because I feel like, and this is people who like watch the Kardashians religiously and like feel like they know Kim. They really know that like she had this like image of being like a sex symbol and that she had the sex tape and she had this like kind of raunchy reputation. And she was like actually nothing like that. She was like super shy and she like didn't drink. Like there's this perception of her, but it's not really who she is. And I feel like this is kind of just like feeding into like what people think about Kim. But at the end of the day, like, I don't think Kim would ever do this. Kim is so family oriented. Like, she's a child of divorce. Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I know Kim and I know that she wouldn't do this.
Yeah, but there are like a lot of quotes going around now from like various interviews that Travis had done at the time about how he couldn't keep his eyes off Kim. And like, to me,
Nobody could.
No, but like, I don't care about Travis and Shanna's like marriage, whether or not Kim broke it up. Like, I seriously don't care. I can't tell you why. I just am wondering like if Courtney's dating someone that her sister hooked up with, because like, to me, that's so
crazy. A no-no. It's incest.
Even 20 years later.
Incest.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is 20 years. Let's say they did. Let's just play devil's advocate. Let's say they did. It's 20 years later and it really feels like this is the love of Courtney's life. And some people are saying that she's pregnant because she put up this weird, ominous fucking Instagram post, Pinkalicious, like, and Christmas tree, like maybe she's due in December. There were all these different hints. I actually watched a TikTok that did kind of convince me that she was pregnant. Whatever.
I don't believe it.
So let's say for argument's sake that they did fuck, but now it's 20 years later. Courtney's head over heels in love with Travis. Travis is head over heels in love with Courtney. Like, I actually think I can move past it, even though that's like a huge no-no. If you read my book, you know it was like one of our rules growing up. Like, you don't kiss the same boy as your sister. But I might be able to get past this one.
I don't know. I just really hope it's not true so I don't have to get past it.
Think about it. Yeah. You know?
And I'm sure eventually, like, say it was true and I took the time. Like, I do think I can get past it also. And it's clear that they've gotten past it. If it is true, I just like really hope that it's not, because like that's a real bummer. Like, and if Travis is the love of Courtney's life, it's just like always like he had sex with her sister.
Yeah, and it's like you couldn't just like not do one thing 20 years ago because you don't know how it impacts your life 20 years from now. Also, I do think that these allegations, or whatever you want to call them, are coming out at an interesting time because there's also a lot of drama with Alabama Barker, who is Travis and Chana's daughter. And she's been like posting TikToks basically alleging that her mom was absentee and all these kind of crazy allegations. So I just feel like maybe that's an attempt to discredit Shanna. I don't know. There's just like a lot to unpack from the Alabama Barker, Shanna Mokler, Travis Barker, Courtney Kardashian, Kim Kardashian saga. And I'm kind of like living for it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I just, there's one side is saying this, like, they're just such different recollections of what happened. And
let's say they did fuck. Kim's camp would not be like, yeah, we did.
No, but like, they might not, they might just ignore her because, like, who is she?
No, that's a great question. Who is
Shanna Mokler? This article says model.
Oh, me too. Same.
So, yeah, that's just like an interesting turn of events.
That's a little incest news for everyone.
Are you ready for our next story, which is taking us back in time?
Yeah, because I really am.
You are. You look ready.
No, I'm feeling so positive and at peace. And I've never been more ready for anything than I am for this next story.
Good. I'd love to hear that.
I just feel like I exuded such negative vibes yesterday, like I need to make up for it.
Okay, yeah, sure. Let's try something new.
Let's try something new, yeah.
Misha Barton is saying that bullying on the OC set led to her exit. She said, I just felt very unprotected. Okay, so Misha Barton spoke to E! News. I read this whole article about how this writer at E! News like just thought like she would email Misha and like see what happened there.
And Misha just opened up the floodgates.
Misha just responded and shared her truth.
Before we start, I just want to say, like, I have so much love in my heart for Misha Barton. Like, I think she's a gem. I loved her on The Hills last season.
Loved.
And I just think she's kind of how people talk about Britney and how like she's like an example of what the media can do and how they're so evil. I feel like Misha Barton is one of those as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wish she was back on The Hills. I thought she was a great character. Would have loved to see more from her. I don't know why they turned. Like, when they picked her up, I didn't know why they did that. And when they dropped her, I didn't know why they did that.
Yeah, no, once they picked her up, I was like, what? And then I watched it. I was like, oh, this is an interesting gal. She's young, fabulous Hollywood gal. Stories to tell, things to say, vengeances to avenge. And then they just dropped her off. Maybe she didn't want to be it anymore, but like, I thought she was great.
I thought she was great too. But so now she's responding to emails about what happened on the set of The OC.
So all of this is being communicated via email.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
And maybe they got on the phone, but she reached out to her via email just because I guess she was up one night wondering why Misha was killed off The OC.
Which I actually relate to this article. Oh, really? This writer.
Great question. Yeah. So she said there were people on.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Right. There were people on that set that were very mean to me. It wasn't like the most ideal environment for a young, sensitive girl who's also been thrust into stardom to have to put up with. She said sometime during season two, things got more difficult for her. The hours got longer and the producers started evening out everybody's pay after promoting her co-star, Rachel Bilson, because I guess Summer wasn't meant to be a full-time cast member.
But she was such a star in that first season. How could you not?
She became one of the core four, and I guess they took her paycheck from some, like, from everyone else's.
So did they demote Misha's payment, or they just brought Summer's up?
They might have just, like, demoted everyone.
Got it.
She said, in sort of general bullying from some of the men on the set, that felt kind of really shitty. But, you know, I also love the show, and I had to build up my own walls and ways of getting around dealing with that and the fame that was thrust specifically at me. Just dealing with, like, the amount of invasion I was having in my personal life, I just felt very unprotected, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So she said that the showrunners came to her, and they were like, they didn't force her off the show or anything. They were like, we could let you go in a way that's kind of mysterious and have you come back, or we could end it finally and you can go move on and do whatever you want. And I guess she had, like, other offers coming in because she was at the height of her career. She's like, no, I want to take all these things that I haven't been able to take, and I want to go. And I think when she filmed it and when she made that choice, she had no idea that it was going to be, like, the cultural thing that it was, like, Hallelujah, Marissa Cooper, like, being carried through the streets.
Yeah.
And so she just made the choice to, like, move on with her career.
Well, I honestly can't tell if that was the right decision, because it did become this actual phenomenon. Like, the way you just think of one of the most iconic moments in TV history, it has to be in, like, the top 10. But she didn't really have much of a career after that. So it's like, which would you take, the iconic moment or the longevity?
I think the longevity, but in hindsight, like, you know, she, and a lot of people do this, I think, like, it's probably frustrating, right? You're at the peak of your career, but you're stuck to this thing, so you can't take other opportunities, but maybe you choose the wrong opportunities, and then it's all downhill from there.
I think that a lot about the kids from Riverdale, how they became so famous so fast, and they literally work every single day, 365, in Canada. Like, they're so limited in what they can do outside of the show that they grew huge followings. The show became huge, and then the show just kind of dwindled, and, like, I just don't think of them as, they're super famous, but I don't think of them as, like, the megastars that they were for, like, that 1 year. And they couldn't really do much after that.
Well, I just feel like they're still doing stuff. And I feel, but I also feel like they make weird choices. Like Madeline in that movie, F the Prom, that was, like, so terrible.
I just think they're very limited in what they can do contractually. Not only time-wise.
Because they only get, like, a few months off. But, like,
and then also, like, I'm sure your contract is, like, you can't do a TV show with ABC. You know what I mean? Like, they're limited in what they can actually accept. And then timing of it all.
I feel like Cammy does the best job.
Me too.
Because she was in that spooky movie that was on Netflix. That was, like, during quarantine.
What was the premise?
It was like a...
She was in Palm Springs.
It was like a horror movie. Yeah, she was in Palm Springs, which, like, was a...
A hit.
A mainstream success. Let me look at what
I agree with you. I do think that she does the best job of balancing Riverdale and other work. But it's, like, a blessing and a curse to become so famous on a TV show, because those TV shows, especially the ones that have, like, 22 episodes a season, like, you don't get to work otherwise or really even live.
Yeah. I think the movie was called Dangerous Lies, which just goes, it was, like, a Lifetime type of movie, but it was on Netflix, and I think it did really well. It was, like, it was, what are those movies called that are, like,
Thriller?
Who's coming up the stairs, you know?
Mystery?
Like, sort of.
Scary?
Like, a scary movie, sure.
Got it, okay.
I think.
I'm curious to know what the word you're looking for is.
I don't know, maybe.
Spooky?
Spooky thriller.
Thriller.
Let's click on the movie. Let's see how it describes itself.
It's probably a scary movie. That's like a genre.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways. I guess they were Dangerous Lies, so it definitely was scary because it was so dangerous.
So, yes, I agree with you. Like, Marissa Cooper, it's a weird thing. Like, you become so famous, you become, like, best friends with your castmates, and then it kind of, like, dwindles because you're limited in what you can do outside of the show, and the show goes on for a long time. I can't believe Riverdale's still on the air.
Yeah, and I feel like Rachel Bilson and Adam Brody were dating in real life, yeah?
That helped them a lot.
I'm sure that helps. Like, you feel like you have someone in your corner, and she probably just felt out on her own.
Yes, and I do also think that, like, one of the weirdest things, like, that I've ever experienced is the fact that Adam Brody and Rachel Bilson dated for so long, and then he got married to Leighton Meester, who's literally Rachel Filson, and who, like, literally comes from the same exact career. Like,
no, it's not even that she's Rachel Filson. It's that Seth Cohen and Blair Waldorf literally got married.
No, and also, like, Summer Roberts and Blair Waldorf were, like, the same
type
of character, and they had a similar career.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's, like, the weird, and they look alike too. So, like, when I see pictures, I'm like, is that an old picture with Rachel Bilson or a current picture with Leighton Meester?
Yeah, no, it's shocking.
And I think it's just another interesting factoid that a lot of people don't really remember is that Leighton Meester was born in prison.
Yeah.
That's a crazy story.
And
they, like, kind of referenced that in Country Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, like, you know, Chyle Stanton was hiding this huge secret about her past. What was it? That her parents were in jail.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Great movie if you haven't seen it.
Who hasn't seen it? Like, probably a lot of people, and that's what's wrong with the world. Like,
everyone has seen it.
Has everyone seen
it? We're going to have a mandatory viewing.
I don't think. Aram definitely has not. No.
Okay, ready for our next story? A little love news.
A little love news that's brought to you by Bruce. Very appropriate since I love Bruce.
And when you're in love, you're going to need a fucking Bruce.
Yeah, you are. This spring, drift into a dreamy state of mind and reset with the Frouche, new limited edition colorways inspired by a dreamlike surrealism. So what is the Bruce, you guys? It is the best electric toothbrush on the market. We talk about it here all the time. So many toasters have gotten them, and it has really changed their life. It is very, very effective in cleaning your teeth, your gums, helps with breath, but it's also really affordable. A lot of electric toothbrushes can cost over $200, which is like nuts. But not the Bruce, very affordable. It comes with 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. It has a 2-minute timer, so you make sure to completely clean your mouth in all 4 quadrants of your mouth. Gums, back, front, up, down. The battery life lasts 4 weeks. It comes with a magnetic charging stand that's very sleek and elegant, so it's not very cluttery on your counter. It also comes with a subscription program, so you never forget to change your brush head again. Some people think that, like, if you have an electric toothbrush, you don't need to, like, change, but you do. It's not very sanitary. And they'll keep you on track. You don't have to remember. They'll just every 6 months ship you a new brush head, a replacement, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head. Their electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design, and it comes in trend-driven seasonal colors, so it looks great on your bathroom counter. These new colors are only available for a limited time. Check them out. It's like big launch, you know? You want to get the new one. Mm-hmm. Get them before they're a distant dream. Get 15% off the toothbrush kit from Bruche and the refill plan when you use the promo code TOAST at Bruche.com. That's 15% off using code TOAST at Bruush.com.
Love it. Okay, our love news. ASAP Rocky says girlfriend Rihanna is the one.
I saw this and I totally forgot that they were dating, but I'm like reminded again and now I'm happy again.
He said, when you know, you know. The rapper told GQ for the magazine's June-July 2021 cover story a bit about his romance with Rihanna, gushing that she is the love of my life, my lady. When asked what it feels like to be in a relationship, he said, so much better when you got the one. She amounts to probably like a million of the other ones.
So true.
I think when you know, she's the one. He also shared his thoughts on starting a family, saying that fatherhood is, quote, in my destiny. Absolutely. I think I'd be an incredible, remarkably, overall amazing dad. I would have a very fly child. Very.
So true. This is the thing. Like, Brianna's just, like, that bitch. Like, she's, like, the Elizabeth Taylor of our generation. Like, how the most eligible men in the world used to, like, buy Elizabeth Taylor, like, the boats and the diamonds and just for a chance to be in her presence. And that is literally Rihanna. Like, every fucking eligible, you know, that Saudi prince, billionaire, Drake, everyone who's fucking obsessed, literally they just fawn over her. And she's like, yes, sure. It's fine. I'll take the boat. So it's just like, it's hard to see someone living your dream. Because I really, for, you know, a while, really did think I was the Elizabeth Taylor of our generation. But it's very clearly.
But you were just snatched up so quickly. You didn't give anyone a chance.
I never had time to grow into it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm real, like, I just made that reference in my mind and like, it's true. Or maybe like the Marilyn Monroe, like.
Yeah, but there, it's the same.
It's the same thing. And know, that's Rihanna.
The Evelyn Hugo.
Yes. That is Rihanna.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's a great call. And it's like the least you can hope for is that when someone possesses this diamond of the season that they can recognize that that's what they have. And
I think she's recognized.
No, I think that he's recognized.
Yes.
Like that she's a million of the other girls.
Yeah. And I'm happy for them. I think they're a cute couple. I don't think I've ever seen a photo of them like together.
Here's a photo of them together. What but it's, I don't know when it's from.
That looks like literally like photoshopped together. Yeah, they're like, so far apart.
But like because her hand's on his shoulder. Like,
you know that you it's real.
Yeah, but it could still be photoshopped, I guess. Anything can happen.
They're really cute. I'm happy for them. And that's a really sweet article. I love when people like publicly gush about their partners in interviews. Like, when Tiffany Haddish like went on and on about Common.
Yeah, but also when people gush about like how much they love being in a relationship, you know, I just think it sets a nice example. Like, because I feel like sometimes being in a relationship like isn't the coolest thing to do.
It's like, you're whipped, bro.
Yeah, exactly. But no.
It's such a lame thing to say.
No, and like, until, yeah, no. I just
two tastemakers making like relationships
making,
cool.
Making tastes.
Making taste. 100%.
But that's also how I feel about like Justin Bieber and Haley, like getting married so young, and I just think it makes that like a cool thing to do. And really, you could do whatever you want with your life. It's just always like
I agree. I know what you're saying. It's nice, agree. You know, it's nice.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah, of course.
The Dear Evan Hansen trailer is here.
And there's drama.
Claudia told me there's drama, which is shocking. I just want to share my initial thoughts because Zach was watching it in the car. You put it on your story, so I watched 10 seconds of it. Enough to know that Ben Platt is playing Evan Hansen.
Yes.
And I overheard the trailer and I just felt like they gave away the entire movie.
Okay, I thought the same thing. It was like a 45-minute trailer and like literally went from start to finish.
I've just seen the movie.
No, and there's like kind of like a big kind of twist in the play and like they like kind of ruined it. Did you know what I'm talking about?
No, I know, like they literally had every song in the trailer, like the whole plot, like Dear Evan Hansen, Connor.
Yeah, like
Connor, yes. Like all the different highs and lows of Evan and Connor.
I agree. They gave too much away. It was an experience. I loved it because I'm going to see the movie and I feel like I saw like a part of it. It was stunning. Like the music. I love Ben Platt. I'm like literally his number one fan. I commented on the trailer and he liked my comment.
Oh my God. That is so rewarding. I'm so excited. I forgot how good the music was. I'm going to do a run today on the treadmill. I'm going to listen to that soundtrack because, like, you will be found. I had chills. Just eavesdropping from the trailer. And Pasek and Paul, my kings.
Yeah, so it's The Greatest Showman, guys. It's perfect. But
it's, like, all this time when we were, like, you know, hyping up The Greatest Showman, we're like, it's the Dear Evan Hansen, guys. And, like, now finally people understand, like, how good at that is.
No, and now they're The Greatest Showman, guys.
Yeah, and there were also the La La Land guys, if you're into that sort of thing.
I know it's not a personality trait to think that La La Land was the worst movie ever, but like I fully believe that it is my personality.
I think it says a lot about your personality.
Yeah, no, it's just like, I think maybe I disliked it because everyone liked it so much and I'm just like so like not like other girls.
You're not like other girls.
I don't know why, but I digress. So you didn't really know, and I only knew because I'm on Broadway TikTok because like I literally watch videos of Jessica Vosk singing as Wicked like every day. And so my algorithm gives me like Broadway news. There was some drama a couple weeks ago with some guy, but everyone was like going on and on about Ben Platt being selected as Evan Hansen. And they thought it was problematic for two reasons. One, because he's 27 and I think the character is supposed to be 16 or like 17, whatever, like a high school
kid. When has
that
ever mattered in Hollywood?
And the other thing is that like maybe there were more eligible people to play Evan Hansen who have been on Broadway. Like there's this guy who's currently Evan Hansen on Broadway and he's 19. So people thought he might be more eligible, but that Ben Platt only got the role because his dad, who works in Hollywood, is the producer of the movie.
Okay.
So there's two issues. One, the age thing, which I think is so fucking stupid. Like, where was all this energy when like 4 90-year-olds were playing high schoolers on Pretty Little Liars? Like, yeah. Nobody fucking cares. Regina George was 26. Like, who cares?
No, literally nobody cares. We're going to care now. Also, he originated that role. And didn't he, like, write this show?
So he won the Tony for it. He worked with Pasek and Paul. Like, he was a part. I don't know if he wrote it, but I know that he was involved from the origin. Like, he was a part of making
like,
it what it was.
This is his show.
He popularized it. He won the Tony for it. And honestly, I'm sure there are a lot of people who do it amazing. I haven't seen anyone besides Ben Platt, but, like, he is the Barbara Streisand, a funny girl. You would never make a funny girl movie and not put Barbara Streisand. You know what I mean?
He is Evan Hansen. When I saw the trailer, it sounded like his voice. So I was like, oh, okay, it's Ben Platt. But like, if it wasn't going to be Ben Platt, I was going to be disappointed. But it's also really crazy that like Evan Hansen came out or was at the pinnacle like 5 or 6 years ago. And it's already a movie. Whereas like Wicked still isn't a movie.
Well, there's a lot of drama with the Wicked movie.
Oh, share the drama with me. But also I would hope, I mean, now it's probably too late, but if there ever was a Wicked movie, like I would want it to be Idina Menzel and
Kristen Chenoweth. Of course, the people who popularized the show.
Yeah.
100%.
What's the drama?
So 5 years ago, they announced a Wicked movie. We reported this on the shows. I don't know if you remember. And then they gave like a launch date or like a launch month. And that launch month was like a year ago. So people were like repopulating the tweet and being like, the movie's supposed to come out this month. Like, what happened? I do believe it's like still in the works, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
It doesn't bode well. Who's in it?
They don't say anything yet. And honestly, like if they just got Pasek and Paul on the job, we would be fine.
Yeah. Well, the music is written, but I think it should be Dove Cameron and Ariana Grande. Or no?
No, I don't think so.
Ariana Grande and we already had this
as Alphaba?
I forget. I don't know. We already figured this out.
They don't need to be that young, though. I guess they go to college, right? In Wicked?
Yeah, Shiz University.
So, and then they go to Shiz. The other thing people are all pressed about is the nepotism of it all. And honestly, I think I've said this before on the show. Like, I'm so unbothered by nepotism. I'm like so jealous of it because I have like the opposite of nepotism, like whatever that is. I'm happy for them. Like, if you can get it, like do it. Like, I would do it too. No, like, we're all liars. Like, oh, my dad's producing a movie. Wait, let's play this out. My dad's producing a movie of the play that I starred and popularized.
If anything, it's nepotistic in the other way where it's like his dad only got the producer title.
How qualified is his dad?
Because his son son wrote the movie.
It's reverse nepotism. 100%. Yeah. I just like don't care.
If anything, you should have been angry when this like one-time show writer got a show on Broadway because his dad was in the industry.
Yeah.
Like that was the time to be angry.
No, but also I would be angry if he wasn't so qualified for the role. Like I think there's, and I'm not gonna like out people, but I think there's a lot of people who have gotten famous like based on their parents' attributes, and like they're not that great or talented, and I don't understand the hype. It's only the hype because their parents are superstars.
100%.
Ben Platt is not one of those people. I think he would have become a just as big as of a star if he didn't have the connections that he did.
Yeah.
So sometimes like the talent matches, and that's really all I care about. Ben Platt is going to be amazing in it, so everyone can just fuck off.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited.
The Broadway stands, though, on TikTok are fucking pressed. Like, there's real problems going on in the world.
Yeah. Are you ready for our fifth and final story? I think it's some news that's going to make you even happier than you already are
it's
today.
It's the final story. What is it?
It's a little fast food wars news that's going to...
Yes.
That's for you.
Every time we talk about fast food, I have it for lunch, excuse me.
Well, now I know what you can order next.
Okay.
Burger King launches a new chicken sandwich nationwide called the Chick King.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yep, Burger King's new chicken sandwich is here, and it's entering a market that's more crowded than ever. The burger chain first announced its new sandwich in February. Since then, it's been rolling out the sandwich. I love when sandwiches get rolled
out. They're like a little late. Like, I feel like there's been like a conversation about where the best chicken sandwich is from for a while.
They have been. But you know what? I'm happy for this news because personally, like when we used to go, when we were driving and we would all want fast food like last year, I would want to stop at Burger King for the, what's it called?
McPlant.
No, but they
Impossible Burger.
Yeah, but it was like, they had a cute name for it, I thought.
What it's is the Impossible Burger.
Impossible Whopper.
Okay.
And then, but then we would go over to McDonald's for you. So like now we can all eat
we can't
eat at Burger King.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, because when I go to fast food,
by the way,
unless
just scratching my nose in case anyone's
she's not picking her nose.
Not picking.
When I go to fast food, I get chicken nuggets, and I actually really don't like the nuggets from Burger King because they're tenders, not nuggets, and I just prefer nuggets. So I'll still always go to McDonald's also because McDonald's fries are so supreme. Like even the best fry from Burger King doesn't stand a chance against the worst fry from McDonald's. Like there's just no competition. Okay. So we'll still have to drive to both stores.
Okay.
Also, I love chicken sandwiches, but not at fast food places. There's just like so many better options for me. Whereas like, okay, like in a restaurant, I'll order like a grilled chicken sandwich.
Okay. So never mind.
I mean, I'll try it for our mukbang that we're never going to film.
Never mind.
No, it's good.
I'll just take this story back.
No, don't. I love fast food news.
Throw it in the garbage. Okay,
my negativity is seeping back out.
If you're in the chicken sandwich
business
fan club, you've got another one to try. Another one.
Nice.
I literally love that.
Remember
phrase.
Like the time when DJ Khaled blew up Snapchat?
Yeah, but do you also remember the time when like Kanye and Kim announced they were having another baby and Mason Disick said another one?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh my God, it's so
Where
iconic.
Did he say it?
On Keeping Up.
He's such an
and
icon.
And Kanye was laughing so hard.
Oh my God, gotta go back and find the clip.
Yeah, no, it was really cute.
Should we talk about Real Housewives of New York, which was like so boring last night?
Yes, we shall. I thought it was interesting.
I thought it was interesting too because I felt conflicted because I really feel like Ramona Singer lying about donating her plasma, which I think we came to that conclusion. I do think like for a second Ramona thought that she did donate plasma just when she got tested because she's like, you know, not that in tune with the medical community. But I think she's known for a while that she didn't actually donate it and let the lie continue. So I think that's like really low and like classless. Like I think that's like one of the worst things you can do.
I don't.
But I think like Leah was really bothering me last night. She was just like being the police, like to everyone. She was being like the plasma police, even though like she was justified and just like wanting to prove her point. She was just like being really harsh. And then she was being like the Fosé police. She was just being like the police woman.
Yeah, I feel very conflicted about it. Is there something that you need to say before we get into it or can we get into the recap?
I've been in it for like
a minute.
No,
but you're holding your curds.
Oh, no. I'm just protective over my curds. Sorry.
okay,
have you not been listening to me? No, I'm just holding my curds. Sorry.
Okay. Keep your curds close and safe.
No, keep your cards close and your curds closer.
Okay. Yes. I feel extremely conflicted over Leah because generally speaking, like I really am here for her as a person. And I think that she's such a great thinker sometimes, you know?
That's such a good way to put it.
And she, and I, like, really sometimes when she goes for something, I'm like, yes. But with this Ramona plasma stuff, she came for Ramona so hard in the beginning of COVID because she was going to Florida and then she like got COVID. And I understand at the time that Leah felt like that was the right thing to do. But now it's like 8 months since then. Like in hindsight, like I don't know why she's going still so hard again, where she could have looked back on it and been like, well, Ramona did have antibodies and she was like she wasn't doing anything so crazy. But at the time, everything felt crazy. But now in hindsight, it's like, oh, she was just in Florida and she had antibodies.
Yeah, I don't really feel like Ramona like traveling from New York to Florida is like a big deal.
But Leah is like still harping on the like that Ramona was like irresponsible during COVID because she like posted her cooking thing on her Instagram.
Well, so
and her workout.
When
and
they it's, flash like, back to the reunion and Leah's like going after Ramona for posting her workout on her stories, I'm like, that's like not a big deal.
No,
that's literally
the
what
entire
was
fucking
doing.
World did that. Yeah. So like maybe well, in the me, moment but... you saw it and you felt like it was tone deaf, but that's like not something that I would bring up again. It's like something that she did wrong because that's what the whole world was doing.
Yeah.
So like that was sort of bothering me. I feel like what happened with Ramona is that she thought she donated plasma because something was like taken from
they
her.
They took her blood.
They took something from her. And she thought that that was plasma.
I agree. But I think she's known for a while.
And I think when she told the press that she donated plasma, she really thought that she did.
I agree.
Think afterwards, she learned that that was not what happened. But Leah is really trying to embarrass her and make her look like a terrible person as if she lied.
Intentionally.
Whereas I think that when she said it, she wasn't lying.
I agree with you completely.
And the
I
fact
think Ramona
that Leah
for a
can't,
while.
Like, I don't know why Leah, like her and Leah aren't beefing right now. So right. I don't know why Leah feels like she needs to embarrass her in front of everyone and like make her admit that she was wrong.
I think that for a while, Ramona Singer went to bed every night, like truly believing she helped someone. I believe that. I don't think she's a bad person. Like, I don't think she would intentionally lie because that's like fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't think that she did that. And I understand Leah like wanting to like make the point, but like she went so hard. She was just being like a Karen. And I'm like, chill. And then it was just like that was the energy she had throughout the whole day. Like, honestly, what she said to Luann, I think she did have good intentions. But then Luann was literally like, you're literally doing the same thing with your mocktail. Like, and Luann was right.
Yes. I think I understood what Leah was trying to say because it is like a crutch for Luann, and eventually she'll have to learn how to walk on her own. But I think like telling her about it while she's doing it and like leaning on her crutch, like that's just not that helpful. But I do feel like her heart was in the right place, and like Luann did come to her and say like, we're in this
that's
together
true.
Like I want to lean on you. And so I think Leah thought she was just being a friend.
Yeah.
Whereas everybody in the group has been getting along. She's staying at Ramona's house and she wants to bring this thing up to make like Ramona embarrassed and look bad in front of everyone 8 months later. Well, I wasn't supportive of it.
That's the thing. I forgot. They're all staying at Ramona's house. And it's, you say what you want about Ramona, but like she is the host and she's doing like a nice job. And you just don't like attack someone like that when you're literally staying at their house.
Yes. And then also I'm not understanding Leah's point of view with this
Heather
stuff.
So then I thought she was also being policewoman when it's like, what are we going to say to Heather when she gets here? What time does she get here? What should we say? Let me pull up the articles. She
just
was being detective.
Just in case you forgot or you missed what she said, here's what she said, getting the whole group riled up against Heather.
And by the way, they didn't even pull up anything that Heather had said about Leah. So Leah's getting mad on like Luann and Sonia's behalf when Luann and Sonia seem to not give a shit.
Right. And it seems like whatever Heather said about Luann, like not being authentic, like we all recognize that there's an old Lou and a new Lou.
Yeah.
Like even the way that she has done a complete 180 about how to address herself to a driver. Like,
yes.
So Heather knew Luann when she really was that like inauthentic, talk to her countess lady. So like, I don't find that to be offensive. I think
no, but saying she does hard drugs is mean. And also saying Sonia's
she didn't say
has two faces.
She
like,
said that the night in St. Bart's with the pirate,
they were doing hard drugs.
That there was drugs. Maybe there was drugs.
No,
and
I know.
And I think we said this last week that is like so far in the past, and Luann has been through so much since then. Like, sure, it's like not that cool, but it's like not recent enough.
I might just be biased because I actually like love Heather.
Yeah, I like her too. I think she's a nice girl.
I think she's a nice girl. I think she's like a good businesswoman. I think like her time on the show, which she left voluntarily, which is very rare. I think she was like a good friend. She was like really good friends with Carol and Kristen Takeman. Like, she didn't give me any reason not to like her. Her hollers were a little annoying, but other than that, there's no reason to dislike her so much. So I'm just like, Leah's coming on really strong. It's making me think, like, what happened off camera? Like, how do you know Leah? How do you know Heather? Like, what's going on here? Because, like, to have so much energy and detest for someone who literally hasn't said anything about you, who you, I think, don't even know.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. So she's just giving me, like, policewoman vibes.
That's how I felt, too. But I still really like Leah. I was just, like, not understanding where she's coming from.
Yeah. And obviously the big ta-da was Sonia Morgan getting, like, so fucked up. And, like, honestly, it was funny. Like, we're working with so little here. Like, and I've never thought I would say this, but this is like just kind of the cycle of housewives. It's like you hate a housewife so much because like their behavior is atrocious, and then when they leave, like it is kind of boring. And it's like, even though I did not like or appreciate most of what Dorinda brought to the table, like I am bored without her. Like I really am. So the craziest thing is like Sonia got drunk. Like who cares?
I even when you said like someone left because of their behavior, I forgot who you were talking about. And now I realize you were talking about Dorinda. I don't miss her for 1 second. They should have brought in more new cast members.
100%.
Because 5 just isn't enough. It's we so should little. Have had, they should have brought in one more new person and an old person, which I think Heather was supposed meant to be.
Yeah. But I think that her and Leah in this particular weekend in the Hamptons get into it really bad. And Heather leaves like so she doesn't film the rest of the season.
Right. So that's then what we're I back think. Down to 5.
And Ebony is great, but she's just like a little boring.
Yeah.
So just her being the sole focus of all the new energy, I don't think it's enough.
I agree. I totally agree with that. But she was the only one dressed right for the day.
Okay. So
her
when Ramona,
outfit was beyond stunning.
When Ramona was being the fashion police to Leah McSweeney, Ramona needed to arrest herself with that big fucking knee-length vest.
Yeah. She took it off and she changed.
Leah looked great.
Leah looked like...
Leah's just cool and different. Like
I would not wear that outfit.
No.
But I appreciate it for Leah. Like, yep. I like that she has a sense of style, that it's different from... Yeah, someone would wear that top with black jeans or those pants with a black top. Like, because that's... But, like, her outfit at Sonia's Garden, like, she does it in Leah's way.
She does it in her own way. And it's like, who cares what Leah's wearing? Like,
she also looks amazing in everything, so it really doesn't
matter. It's actually unfair.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, like, a fine episode. Jersey's on tonight. Not the finale, part 2 of the reunion.
Yeah.
I didn't watch part 1 yet, so we'll just recap.
No, part 1 of the reunion. Finale was last week.
Oh, I didn't watch the finale. Okay. Because I was, we were in Nashville. So 2 episodes, we'll recap that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anything else on tonight?
Beverly Hills!
No way!
Beverly
no way!
Hills! That's where I want to be. I saw a clip,
like a sneak peek, and it's lunch or dinner with Garcelle and Lisa Rinna. And Garcelle is like, holding Lisa Rinna to the fire for what she did to Denise. And Lisa Rinna's like, I shouldn't have been so hard on Denise. But it's like, where is that energy? Bring Denise back. Justice for fucking Denise.
Bring Denise
back. I love Garcelle for being such a good friend. Like, even though Denise is off the show, still bringing it up. Getting accountability.
Yeah. But yeah. Rinna is just like a political animal, and she will say, and
yes.
Now that Denise is gone, she'll say, it doesn't matter what she says. Now she did what she needed
to do.
So she just.
Yeah. I can't wait. Wow, what a good night. I was going to go out to dinner, but I think I shouldn't.
No, I think you need to stay in for this one.
Me too, ordering a pizza. Mm. I had such a traumatic, like such a first world problem with my dinner last night. But like when you're so hungry and your food's just not coming, like I don't think there's anything worse. Like me and Ben order from a sushi place. They have 2 locations and Ben insisted that we order not from the one 2 blocks away, but from the one 30 blocks away because he thinks it's better. He was just being a baby and I was like, okay, fine, whatever. So the food gets prepared and the courier picks it up and the courier is on foot. So I feel so bad. I'm making this guy walk 30 blocks because Ben prefers. It was such a mess. It took 2 hours to get my food. It was freezing cold. And I was like so mad. So I just like, I'm not going to ever let my dinner get out of hand like that again.
No, that's good.
I'm ordering for myself. Ben, you can order whatever, like fucking order from Brooklyn for all I care. Like I'm taking care of, you got to look out for yourself. Nobody's looking out for you.
Nobody's looking out for you.
I was so upset.
I'm so sorry.
Let's dive into Dear Toasters before our interview with Remy Bader. And Dear Toasters is brought to you by Noom. Think about everything you've ever learned about getting healthy. There's a lot of contradictory information out there. And things like that old-fashioned food pyramid aren't much help. Enter Noom. You know how to chew. You know how to use chopsticks, how to fold a slice of pizza so the cheese doesn't slide off. But do you really know how to eat? Noom says if you want to lose weight, it's not about one thing you ate today, but how you eat in general. So it's not about what you just ate, but how you eat in general. Noom teaches you about eating, your cravings, how to build new habits so you can ditch the old misconceptions and get smart about food and the choices you make. Based in psychology, Noom teaches you how to eat so you can accomplish your personal health goals and stick with them long term. Because you don't need rules to lose weight, you need knowledge. And with Noom, you pick the health goals that are right for you, and Noom personalizes a weight loss program to help your aspirations become reality. Because sometimes it's not about the scale. I know for me, it's like always about how I feel, like I get fatigued when I'm not eating really well. I get headaches. So everyone has their own reasons for wanting to get in shape or start eating better. And Noom is a solution for anyone, no matter what your goal is.
Yeah. And especially if you're rising and grinding, like Noom is your friend. And what I love about Noom is Noom doesn't judge. Like you can be rising and grinding. And of course you feel like, okay, yes, I'm so excited to tell Noom about everything that I did.
Right.
But you know what? Even when you're not, Noom doesn't judge. They understand that life happens.
They'll teach you
nobody's
why
nobody's perfect.
They'll teach Noom. You why you make the choices you do and give you the tools to replace your habits with healthier ones. There's a science to getting healthier, and it's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/toast. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/toast. Are you ready to learn how to live healthier? Sign up for Noom today at Noom, Noom.com/toast.
Love it.
All right, dear toasters. Hi, Jackie and Claudia. I recently got engaged to my fiance, who happens to be 100% Italian, which has tremendous perks: an abundance of meat sauce, homemade cookies around all the time, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, it also comes with major drums. A few months before getting engaged, my sister-in-law, Meadow, and my mother-in-law, Carmela. Oh, these are names from the Sopranos. Okay. I'm like, that's a weird, like, mostly people just choose, like, Sarah.
No, yeah.
Meadow? My sister-in-law, Meadow, and mother-in-law, Carmela, stopped speaking. This has been building for years as Carmela loathes Meadow's husband, and it has now been about 6 months of them not speaking at all. Meadow has three kids that Carmela and Tony have not been able to see in 6 long months. This has put my fiancé and I smack dab in the middle of this drama. We are still speaking to both sides, but Carmela feels very strongly that we should not invite Meadow and her husband to our intimate wedding destination wedding of 20 people in March. Meanwhile, Meadow has not asked one detail about our wedding. I know I have to invite her, but is it completely selfish that I don't want her at the wedding? Do I have to invite her husband that the entire family despises? Frankly, I don't want to have to deal with any of this drama on my wedding day. Sincerely yours, a toaster that belongs on HBO.
I need to know why they hate the husband. Like, is it just like personality stuff, or is he like a really bad person for actual reasons that you can list
right
off?
If it's just like dumb family drama that people are taking really seriously, I would say invite them, because things like this change all the time, and you don't want to like look back on your wedding photos and like not be able to include your brother and sister-in-law who like you're now, you know, 10 years in the future close with.
Yeah,
because weddings are just one of those things, weddings and funerals, like you just go.
Yeah,
because drama comes and goes, unless it's like an unforgivable offense.
Right, exactly. But it's like if they wind up reconciling and then you just like are on the out still, even though this wasn't your fight, I would just invite them. They probably won't even come.
Yeah.
And unless there's something like really terrible that's been done, I just think it's family and you guys are all in this together.
There's a line, and if they haven't crossed it yet, you have to invite them.
Yeah.
All right, next up. Hi, Claudia and Jackie. I absolutely love listening to the Morning Toast every morning. It's one of the few things that truly brighten up my morning. I really felt compelled to share my current situation with you guys because I need to know that I'm not crazy. Last weekend, while celebrating Mother's Day with my boyfriend's family, his older brother Luke told me that someone in our small town found a website full of naked pictures of some of my best friends. I immediately shared the link with my friends, alerting them that this was happening. Apparently, this was old news because my friend's phone got hacked 2 years ago and she's been fighting and failing to get them taken down because she's over the age of 18. She asked me to tell her as much as possible about who resurfaced these and how I even got them. So I explained that Luke's friend Carter received them from another group chat and shared them with this group chat of 12 people. She was shocked to find this out because Carter was apparently her friend. So she reached out politely to tell him that she was disappointed he didn't come to her first rather than share it with 12 other boys. Carter proceeded to get angry with his group chat, which caused Luke to get angry with me for telling her it was Carter. Oh, and it gets worse. My boyfriend's parents and sister then involved themselves, so I had four of his family members yelling at me, telling me I was wrong to tell my best friend who shared the pictures. I was speechless, disgusted, and outraged. Why the hell do I care if Carter gets in trouble? Shouldn't these parents know that people need to be held accountable for sharing private pictures without consent? Am I in the wrong here?
No.
I need to know what standing up for my friend, that standing up for my friend was the right thing to do.
It was.
I have to say that my boyfriend immediately apologized on their behalf and tried to get them to understand my side. How am I supposed to feel comfortable around these people again? Please help an RDH toaster. Girl, you did nothing wrong. Like, I keep thinking if I was one of those girls whose phone got hacked, photos illegally stolen, and can't get them taken down because I'm over 18. Like, that's so disgusting. Who cares who's circulating it? Like, there's justice on the table, and that's what counts.
That's what counts. So at least your boyfriend, like, knows what's up, because otherwise I was about to say, oh, he's only your boyfriend, bye. and then with the family, like, they've shown you who you are, and now it's just arm's length time.
Yeah, like, that's actually really disappointing, because at the end of the day, we should all be concerned for like this girl's group of friends who are being so violated and like everyone's circulating it around, making it so much worse. And the fact that all we care about is fucking Carter. Who fucking cares about Carter?
Fuck Carter.
I'm not finding Carter. Fuck Carter.
Fuck Carter.
So you totally did the right thing. You can sleep at night knowing that like you're a good friend and a good person and like a good woman. You're actually the definition of a woman who supports other women.
100%.
And your mother-in-law is not, or future mother-in-law.
Yeah. So now you know. The more you know, and that your boyfriend knows what's up is really all you can ask for in the situation. I'm just like, I'm so sorry for your friends.
I know, but I'm actually really relieved to hear that your boyfriend is also like a woman who supports other women. Or a man who supports other women.
Yeah.
Phew. All right, finally. Hi, Claudia and Jackie. My fiancé and I are getting married next fall.
Congrats.
I've already asked all my bridesmaids to be in the wedding party. My fiancé has yet to ask his groomsmen, but he's always planned to ask his dad to be his best man. Cute. Let me start by saying I have no problem with this. His dad is truly his best friend, and I think it's super cute that he would ask him. His brother is absolutely nuts. That's a story for another time. And he would feel bad choosing a friend over his brother, so his dad just seems like the best choice.
I agree.
So the only problem with it is that I don't necessarily want him in all the bridal party photos. He's already going to be in the family photos, obviously, so I just feel like that's a lot. Number one, he's going to be exhausted. He's an older man in his mid-60s. He's not in great shape, and I feel like him running around for hours would take a lot of his energy. And the wedding won't have even started by then. And then, of course, reason number two is I feel like he would stick out like a sore thumb. I don't want my eyes to draw to him every time I look at my bridal party photos. Wow, just typing that, I feel like a huge bitch, but I can't help that I feel that way. Yikes. My fiancé gets very mad every time I bring it up and says he would feel horrible telling his dad he's the best man but can't be in the bridal party pics, which I understand as well. What do? Am I just a raging, nefarious bitch that needs to get over herself? Or do you agree and we can ask him to step out of some of the photos? I have a major pit about it, and I don't want his pajama dad to hate me. How do you think my fiancé should bring it up with his dad if you think he should? Is it really mean to ask him to be his best man and then add stipulations? Help. A beautiful, stunning, and smart bride.
Okay, so I have a plan for you, because you can't ask someone to get out of a photo, like when the photo's being taken and you're like, okay, now one without you so we can have one to hang on the wall.
It's so rude.
But what you can do, being that this is your wedding and there's a lot of planning that goes into it, is you can schedule pictures throughout the day. Don't have the adult or the older people come in till later in the day because they need their energy. So like, do all the family photos last, and earlier in the day do the bridesmaids, groomsmen pictures where he doesn't even know that that's happening. And then later in the day when he is there, then do another picture with all the groomsmen. Because the young people, your friends, they stand around and wait all day for the pictures to be taken. Older people don't have as much stamina, so I think you do one set of photos in the morning before he's expected to arrive, and then one set of photos with him when it's his time.
That's possible, but I think that's good advice, but like, I don't really agree with this. Like, I don't know, like, I think you should just be proud of the fact your husband sounds like such a pajam. His dad is his best man. Like, you obviously married like such a family oriented, like, I'm gonna cry, it's so sweet. Like, and you want to hide that? Like, it's so fucked up. Like, I don't think you're going to be standing there in a big, poofy white dress. No one's looking at your father-in-law. Like, it's not going to be this sore thumb situation. I think
it's true. And also, like, it is, like, that is what's happening. Like, that's the truth, you know?
Yeah, no. And I just think it's, like, lean into it. It's really sweet. I've never heard of anyone choosing their dad as their best man. It speaks to the kind of character of your future husband. And I don't think you should be ashamed of it. I think, like, you are being a little bitchy like I do, so I think that's my advice.
But
like, it's really sweet. I think it's so special, and I would lean into it. It's nice, and no one is going to be looking. There's a big bride, poofy dress. No one is looking at the groomsman in the back who's slightly older than the other people.
I agree with you. But I will also say, like, your wedding day is your time to be a little bitchy, and if this is going to bother you forever, for whatever, maybe there's other reasons mm-hmm. at play, then I think you can do it in a way without hurting anyone's feelings
yes.
and without taking the picture and then say, okay, now one without you.
Jackie's given the roadmap to how you want to do it if you want to go about that way. My advice would be, like, it's actually really sweet, and
make peace with it within yourself.
I think it would make him so happy, make your husband happy, and your husband obviously doesn't agree with you, so like, is this a battle you want to pick? If so, go Jackie's way. If not, I would just let it go.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying, too, of course, but it's like,
people have their stuff. I don't know.
People have their stuff. That's true. Just decide whether this is a hill you want to die on, and then die on it.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is pretty much our show, except we've got an interview coming up with Remy Bader. If you're listening on the... Oh, also, that was Dear Toasters. If you ever want to write in, we're running low, so deartoasters@gmail.com. Make it into strings. Sperm
we're running
bang.
Low because we're solving all the world's problems.
And that's just our cross to bear. But it's deartoasters@gmail.com.
I hope we can get to a place where there's no more Dear Toasters.
Of course. Or at least updates. If we've written to you, let us know
all
how
updates.
It went. We love
yes.
updates. deartoasters@gmail.com. Enjoy this interview with Remy Bader. She was a precious gem of a woman. Podcast, just keep listening. YouTube, it is up on our channel. And And that's our show. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you have an amazing hump day, and we will see you tomorrow. Enjoy this interview with Remy Bader.
Bye.
Bye. Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast. Jackie and I are so thrilled and excited to have an in-studio guest, someone we've been so excited to chat with, the reigning queen of realistic hauls on TikTok, Miss Remy Bader. Hello, Remy. Welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for coming.
Of course. Like, this is the most exciting thing like in my life right now.
Same, literally. You have had quite a year.
I really have.
Can you take us back to pre-pandemic, what your life was like, and then how all this got started?
Of course I can. So I was working, well, taking back a little further, where when I met you guys at first, I was working at Bravo TV right out of college. Mm-hmm. I was doing PR, didn't love it, ended up going into music, working at Tidal, which is Jay-Z's music streaming service. Actually really did like it. I was doing partnership marketing there. And then unfortunately I lost my job. I was furloughed in April of last year, so like a year ago. And then I lost my job in July because they said we were, yes, they were like, you're 100% coming back. And then all the people that were furloughed got let go.
Right.
Wow.
So at the time I was like losing my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I supposed to do? There was no jobs in like entertainment, marketing, music, like anything like that.
Yeah.
So my dad always worked in the fashion industry. He does women's jeans. And he like always pushed me to do like plus size modeling or just like fit modeling mm-hmm. or something. And I was like, no, I used to get offended by it. We're like,
that's like so something that would offend me too.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I was like,
say?
You're horrible and you've ruined my life since childhood. Like, no, that's literally what happened. Like the whole beginning of quarantine. Like, so going back a little further, like the whole beginning of quarantine was like when my weight caught up to me from like, I feel like I was just, I liked my job at Tidal, but I was so stressed all the time that I'd come home and just like eat.
Yeah.
And all my weight caught up to me. So that was a hard time too. Cause like, beginning of the pandemic, being home with my family, just like my sister and my parents, who like I've always had a difficult, very close with them, but when it comes to like food and weight, so that was like a little difficult. So when my dad said that, it was just like
it was over.
But instead I was like, you know what, he really, you know, actually just was like trying to think like, what could I do? Because I can't sit still. Like right. Me doing nothing and laying in bed and overthinking is horrible for me. Yeah. I needed to work. So he was like, why don't you just try to do fit modeling? For those who don't know, fit modeling is when you go into like the showroom or something and they just fit clothes on you. You don't even speak, yeah. But you make good money.
The first season of Summer House, there was a girl who was a fit model.
Hannah.
No,
Hannah Burner was a fit model.
Oh,
but there was someone else.
The first season, yeah. She was a fit model, and I'm like, damn, she is so cute. And she was a fit model. That's how I know what it is.
So you do have to be a specific, like 10 inches smaller here to here, but you don't need to look like a model, like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what, I'll try. So I sent all of my like measurements, and my dad took pictures of me against a white wall in the house. And
your dad sounds so cute.
And we sent them, I sent them to all different modeling agencies, only heard back from one. And like basically signed with them in August, like pretty quickly. They were like, you'd be great as a fit model, but we also want you as, we could see you being like a model yeah. too. And I was like, okay, cool.
So they called you pretty.
That's so yeah. nice
they were
to
like,
hear.
You're pretty. You're right. And so then started doing that. And then nothing was happening. There was still no jobs really in modeling unless you were doing it for a long time. Like to be a new model in the industry, like no one, mm-hmm. no. So still losing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So then in September, like end of August, I started, which is just so funny now thinking about it, just like DMing influencers. Like, oh. I want to help you for free.
Oh.
DM'd you guys. You would never know. And no one ever saw. Why would people see? Like, you know, like you don't read. I can't mm-hmm. read all of my messages yeah. from everyone. So like I DM'd like probably like you. Like, I don't know. Like a few, like I say a handful of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, honestly, thank God no one answered. Because none of this would have happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
So basically, like, jumping to how all of this happened, I was like, started getting a few fit modeling jobs. And then I was like, I need to do something else. So I never was like, loved TikTok, actually. Like, during quarantine, I wasn't like scrolling all the time. My sister was obsessed. I was like, let's do dances. I'm like, I'm not doing dances looking like this. Like, I just refused. So then I started finding more of like that curvy fashion stuff, like videos on TikTok. And I was like, this is cool. I feel like I could do this maybe. Mm-hmm. So I started making a few videos, like three videos that were like, I made three videos that were like dress, like, wait, why can't I speak? Okay. Take your time. What? I started making videos that were like a celebrity lookalike, like Hailey Bieber in a size 16.
Got it.
No one saw them. And like,
actually, no, I was just about to say, that sounds familiar. Yeah. I feel like I've seen that video.
No, there, I got that from like that idea from other creators. I was like, okay, like a bunch of people are doing this. Like I could do it, maybe make it funny, whatever. But no one was seeing it. I was like, oh my God, it takes so much time and effort to edit and do all this. Like I thought it was crazy. And I was like kind of giving up on it. And then one day I got a package from, I don't know, like Nasty Gal or something. And I always have done this. Like, I've always put on clothes and like Snapchatted my friends and been like, oh my God, I look crazy. Like, yeah. I just would always think it was funny. And then I was like, why don't I just make like a TikTok of it? And it was truly for my friends. And that's the one that blew up.
Is that the one with your ass?
That was like, no, that was like a few later.
Okay, Margo sent me that one, and that's how I discovered you, and I was fucking cracking up, and they took it down because your ass was in it.
Yeah, I was screaming when you commented on it. I was like, oh my God, and then it was gone, and I was like literally like in tears. Like I was freaking out because that was like the first one that blew up where like a lot of people saw it.
I think. It was so funny.
That was the best video I ever did because it like went viral like so quick and it was going crazy and they took it down. So then I put it on my Instagram.
Yeah. And then you re-uploaded it. You just like covered your ass. But yeah. It wasn't as funny.
No, but then, and then they kept taking it down. And I was just like, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so annoying.
It was annoying. But that's kind of how I started doing the hauls where I was like, all right, people think I'm funny. People think it's relatable. And what if people don't know what I do is kind of like get a large amount of clothing from one brand and then I try them on and some look great and some look horrible mm-hmm. and I laugh about it and I talk about it and I call them realistic hauls. And it just, you know, I think what kept me doing it, cause it really is a lot of work. Like now I'm starting to work with some brands other than that. The realistic hauls are separate in itself. But when I go buy the clothes, like I'm buying those clothes, I don't think people realize.
Yeah, like, yeah. They think it's like sponsored.
But then it's
yeah.
like, but if it is sponsored, is there then pressure to have like a positive
yes,
outcome?
I'm trying to figure that out right now, but I don't really do realistic hauls with brands.
Yeah. That's yes. smart.
So like I will keep the, cause in the beginning, let's say I did the free people haul, the first one really blew up and then they loved it and they sent me and they sent me a bunch of more clothes and mm-hmm. they were like, you get to pick. So I was like, okay, great. And they really all looked good on me.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't pretend they looked good, like it actually did. And yeah. then people were like going ham, being like, now since Free People's working
no,
with you.
No, actually I can attest, like as a chubby person, like the Free People clothing, a lot of my clothes are Free People. It's like yeah. very size inclusive and yeah. flowy. I love something flowy.
Especially that, because it's flowy and like they actually run, I think, a little big, some of the dresses and stuff. So also that's like a big part of it too. Like when I started doing this, I never thought of the brand. I thought, these brands are going to hate me. Mm-hmm. But why did I never thought this was going to be my career. So I didn't care.
Yeah.
And then actually a lot of the brands started reaching out and being like, we love what you're doing. Like, let's send you clothes. I'm not stupid. Of course, the brands obviously want me to find things I like and post positive about them. But at least they're acknowledging it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I appreciate.
Definitely. So we're now a year out from you losing your job. And this is your full-time job, correct?
Yes.
You pay your bills.
Yes. This is my full-time job.
That's
amazing. I do the modeling more part-time because I just don't do it as much. And it kind of like does come into this as well. I signed with UTA, so I'm working with them for more of like my brand deals and stuff. And then I'm signed to a modeling agency as well. So, but I would say this, like this takes up all of my time.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, like yesterday I did videos the whole entire day. I'm editing them myself, doing everything.
And does having this huge presence on social media help you book modeling gigs?
Yes, that's the thing. Like, I really wasn't getting any. Like, I almost felt, like, inauthentic being like, I'm a curve model. And I was like, wait, I'm not getting any jobs. This is awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I swear, like, I did my first test shoot, and then I kept posting the test shoot pictures. And I'm like, people definitely are catching on.
That oh,
I'm, like,
my God. That is shoots. So funny. Like, you hadn't booked a gig yet.
Like, I did that for so long that I think about everything. So I, like, think, which is good and bad. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, my God, this is embarrassing. But now I'm like starting to get, like, I just did a big Free People shoot in Santa Barbara with
Stunning.
Yes.
Stunning.
And it blue was dress.
Like, oh,
stunning.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Stunning.
That was like super last minute, and they just like, I don't know. It's like, and you know, and that's another thing too. A lot of people are very positive, and then there'll be people that, where there's always negative people, but that will be like, well, don't you feel like these brands are just using you as like their one token plus size girl? And I'm like, that's something though. I don't care.
And let's say they are. Like, I have bills to pay. Fuck off.
Yeah, and that too.
Like, I'm like, people take a moral high ground on like the fact that like you need to work. Like,
yeah,
it's so silly. It must be difficult being thrust. Like, I think a lot of people grow their brand online and it takes time, but you just kind of like blew up in like 6 months. And it can be overwhelming to have that many people's opinions of you being shared with you on an everyday basis. And I'm curious how you internalize that.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I really feel like on some days I genuinely don't care. And like, I'm choosing to put also like my body in front of the camera and things that I'm not happy about. Like, I always say, I don't consider myself a body positive influencer. People like to say that, and I'm not offended by that. And I think people who are body positive influencers, that's great. I feel like I would just call myself like a realistic influencer because like I am not super happy with my body right now. Like, I gained like 50 something pounds this year.
No, it's like we're body positive for other people.
Yeah.
Like, not for us.
Yeah. And my thing is,
we still hate ourselves. Yeah.
My thing is more like, but I'm not going to hide in my room like I did do this time last year.
Yeah.
And when I started gaining the weight and would go to work every day in pants that didn't fit and be so uncomfortable and just like not want to talk to boys anymore. Like, I'm not, I still feel a little of those things, but this TikTok changed me in a positive way. And like, TikTok changed me in the best way possible because of all the people, because of all the positive things people are saying. Like, people reminded me of things that I forgot about myself. And I still will be like, okay, I posted a video the other day and I'm like, I'm having a bad day. Like, I'm realizing that, like, I made a video a few months ago saying, like, you can't let your weight not have you, not allow you to go on dates. But, like, that's 100% what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And until I feel fully comfortable, I don't really want to.
Well, like, at least you're not a hypocrite. Like,
yeah.
What?
At least you're not a hypocrite. Like, yeah. You're owning the fact that you are contradicting yourself.
Yes. And, like, I feel like that's just how I've been. Like, I feel like the Remy I'm putting on social media, no matter what any haters want to say or not, who have never known me, my friends, my family, everyone who has, is like, I love this for you because it's the Remy you've always been. And that's exactly who I've been. Like, sometimes I say stupid shit and then I'm just like, why did I say that? So I'm just, then I'll make a video following up with that. Mm-hmm. So what I'm learning is that maybe I don't need to do it with everything. Like, I don't need to say all of my feelings.
Yes.
Because sometimes then it's just going to kind of go back in your face. That gives you more of a platform for people to be negative
to criticize.
You.
Yeah.
But I'm learning all this. Like you said, like literally this has been like, I think 8 months. Like, this That's is so just crazy. Like, why would I ever think when I started this, that this would be what it was? And even 4 months ago, I would say, like, I was refusing to not go back into like marketing or something. And everyone was like, Remy, like, you need to go with this. And I'm like, I can't. Like, I built this resume since 11th grade. Like, I can't not
let go
do
of
that.
It. Yeah. 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 Well, I think that's like a hard thing for a lot of people is like, it feels like in the influencer space, it's kind of uncertain.
Yes.
And even though you might be making more money than you do with a traditional job, that traditional job just gives you a sense of stability.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to let that go once they become.
Yes. And then, of course, I have my successful parents or, you know, close friends too, just like, well, what if it did all fall apart? And I'm like, thank you.
They've been saying
for
that to me since 2016. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah. So I'm just like, you know what? I at least do, I really do have a lot of experience in a resume, and I'm pretty sure that I could figure it out if that was the case.
Yeah, but you got to ride the wave.
Yeah. And I'm like, now I've let that go. Like, now I'm like, wait, now I can't even picture myself going into an office doing that, which is crazy because I was very much like, how can I not have a routine and live this life? But now this is my life, and I do like it. I wake up happier every day compared to how I did going into an office every day. And like, I thought I was happy, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
So I want to continue doing this. And aside from everything and just all the like fame and the followers, like, I'm genuinely helping people every single day, which like makes it so much more worth it.
But the fame and the followers doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, that's great also.
Yeah, so, I would argue it's just as good.
Tastes so sweet.
So sweet.
Where are your favorite places to shop, since you're kind of an expert in like who has what?
I went to H&M because you did an H&M haul. And I have to say, like, it didn't do it for me, but I appreciate
it. No, it's very hit or miss. Any of those stores are hit or miss. Like, I found like a shirt at Forever 21 from that haul that I loved, and then everything else I returned.
Right.
Yeah.
Right now, like, this Topps Reformation, I think they have like really great.
Did I not just say that, Jackie?
Yeah. No.
Reformation has great extended sizing. I think, and it's really cute.
And this isn't, this is like older. This is from last year or something. Maybe it doesn't fit me correctly. realized that when I walked in here, but they now have extended sizing and they make it like very, I don't know, I love that. Cause like my whole point of even doing all this is like, I want to be trendy too.
Of course.
Yes, there's always been like plus size stores and stuff, but maybe sometimes not the trendiest. Mm-hmm. And like, we should be able to wear whatever we want.
Yeah, I think there's this misconception that if you're shopping in extended sizing, like you're 97 years old, because yeah. the only things they sell are like cheetah print muumuus. Yeah. And it's like, we deserve like bodysuits as well.
Exactly. So that's why a lot of like what, I mean, I just post my style, but a lot of what I wear is like sexy bodysuits. Yeah. I like to show like this part of my stomach or like certain things like that. So I mean, honestly, I really have been liking Free People lately. I'm a huge Abercrombie gal.
Oh, really?
Yes. A lot of people, like, and my followers are like, I can't do it because they ruined my childhood because I couldn't right. wear it. Like, I couldn't either, and my sister wore it all the time. But, like, right. again, anyone who's making the effort now, I'm going to give a chance. And yeah. they, like, really promote their curvy line and everything. Mm. And then they have, like, trendy, cool clothes, too. Like, great body suits. Like, I'm a fan. Very you just need cool. a size, one full size up.
Got it.
Got it. My favorite haul that you did was Revolve. Like, I was crying laughing.
They have
like,
nerve.
I'm here to, yeah. to go to Surf Lodge.
They have nerve.
Not in that outfit. Yeah. Like, I was literally laughing so hard. That's me trying to get into a club. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
On Revolve.
Yeah.
We talk about it a lot.
We talk about it a lot because, like, I shop at Revolve, but, you know, I, like, let's say when I'm shopping, I refine by size. So it's like, okay, I'm shopping rompers, 5,000 rompers. I need anything, a large or an extra large.
What are your thoughts?
I think that they are not super inclusive. They know that. I mean, I think they know that. And their clothes are a little expensive, which is what I said in my haul too. I think they need to make changes. Yeah. And I'm like hoping that they do. They were one of the brands too that like liked my haul and said it was great, wanted to send me some clothes, you know. And like I always say like hoping, you know, like this makes some sort of change right. or whatever. But they're one of like the five or six brands, I would say, that has reached out after a haul that appreciated it and said, like, we're working on making changes. So, like, that's I nice. Give them that.
Yeah, cool. Of course.
But, yeah, like, none of those clothes really fit me. And then no. and then I found, like, you know, one blazer that was an XL that was, like, beautiful and I wear all the time. Like, and I think that's with any place. But the point is, it's, like, now or never to me. It's, like, okay, I'll give you guys a chance now. But, like, all of these, if you're seeing this, if you're seeing all of these comments from people on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, whatever, yeah. like, take it, do something with it, because if you don't now, you're going to be the one, the you know, left line. Out. Like, yeah. and, like, yes, it's crazy that it's 2021 and, like, a lot of these brands haven't done it, but, like, it hasn't been this talked about. Like, I feel like body positivity stuff started when? Like, a few years ago more, but, like, now with TikTok, like, it's just, like, going crazy.
Yeah.
And talking about the actual brands and doing these reviews that are blowing up, that, like, the brands need to not be stupid and just need to listen.
Yeah, no, and it's honestly, like, just a good marketing move. Like, you'll reach more people.
Right. Yes.
Like, why wouldn't you want that?
More customers.
That's what, and that's what I don't, you know, like, yeah. well, I think I'll never understand that. It's like, there was one brand I was doing like a fitting for and I was just like for bras or something. And I was just like, so why, you know, don't you have bigger sizes? I'm just wondering. And she was going into how like it's the make, you know, it's more expensive, which it is to make the product and do all that. And it's more material and they want to structure it right. But like also BS because like you're going to make more money if you sell to more
yeah,
people.
Of course. What are your thoughts on like extended sizing costing more than like a size small, like an XL costing more than a medium?
In the store?
Online or in stores. Like, I've seen that in many stores.
You know, I actually really haven't, like, noticed that. Oh I should. I
it
should.
Offends that's me to my core.
No, that's great. I should yeah. really, like, look into that because I never really noticed that. Are you saying if it's the same, like, piece?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the same shirt in, like, a small.
Yeah, that's like a double crazy. X or something. Yeah. I'm guessing it's just because it's, like, more material they're putting into it. That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's a good call out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome. Claudia's realistic call. But yeah. Well, you have had really just like an amazing year. What do you think like is next for Remy B?
What is next? You know, I like am so excited about like everything that's happening. I actually like keep saying yes to so many things. Like I need to figure out what it is I want to do. And I don't think I need to figure that out at the moment. I think, yeah. again, we've talked about how like I never knew this would happen. So I've always seen myself doing so many things that I was like, well, this is a nice dream, but it's never going to happen.
Right.
So now I have like the ability to do so many things that I just want to make the right choices. And I'm kind of like going slow with it. Like, you know, like oh, free people reaching out to do a modeling shoot. Like, cool, sure. Yeah. You know, like, so I'm kind of, you know, I would like to maybe do like something TV related one day, like more like hosting thing, not like acting or like, you know, I love to sing. Am I going to be a singer? No, but I'd like to like plug that into something. Like, I just like want to like do things that make me happy and like keep showing myself, but to the, and keep showing myself to the world. But at the same time, like, I think the helping people is so important. And like that, I think long term, I'd love to have like a Remy line that's like truly my own or something. Yeah. I think that's like longer term, but that's like every little piece of like
this puzzle.
What I talk about and like what I feel like we need, and like give that to all of my followers. So
yeah. Well, that's beautiful.
That Remy,
that's beautiful.
Can you tell everyone where to follow you and Thirst Out for a minute?
Yes.
On all your platforms?
It's just at Remy Bader, R-E-M-I-B-A-D-E-R, and it's on, and I'm on TikTok and Instagram.
Fabulous.
Love to see it.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you guys for listening. We hope you have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
Goodbye. Goodbye.